Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is the day that God has made. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. We're going to thank God for his mercies and his grace. We thank God for allowing us another opportunity to come together. Hallelujah. To share with one another. We are all a part of the body of Christ, members of the household of faith, coming together as we fellowship, as we explore the word of God together. And I just want to thank each and every one of you who have taken time from your busy schedule and come and join us where we can hear what the word of God is telling us, and not only just hear, but become doers in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, we all know that there's so much going on in the world. The coronavirus is striking with vengeance, Trouble on every side. Trying to figure out if the children need to be educated at school or away from school. Injustice is still real and brutality hasn't gone away. But I could just tell each and every one of you that God is in control. And God is going to work things out together for our good. I can't tell you when, and I can't really tell you how. But if you trust God and believe in God, and he has never failed you yet, then you can believe that he won't fail us now. God knows everything that's going on. Nothing that is happening can take him by surprise. God is our rock, our shield, sword. God is our rock, our sword, and our shield. Hallelujah. And tonight, we're going to study the word of God in the book of 2 Corinthians. We're in the 12th chapter. We're going to expound on verses 6 through 10. And the title of our lesson is Grace is Power, Not Just Pardon. And the subtitle is Grace Take Care of It All. Grace Takes Care of It All. So at this time, I'm going to play a song that is appropriate for the lesson. The title of the song is Grace by Charles Jenkins. And then we're going to come back and explore the word of God together.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
sound mighty good. God's grace. And at this time, we need to go to the throne of grace. And I'm just extending this opportunity out that God has given to us tonight, that if someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I will open your mic, and you could pray. Caller, your number is 430. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 430-488. Unless it was pressed by mistake. That's Sister Joyce Brown's number. Okay, I didn't hear anything. Okay, another caller. Your caller is 504-338-0. Your mic is open.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come before you, oh God, preparing to hear your word and for you to speak through us through your servant, Minister Diane. Lord, I ask that you touch her from the top of her head to the very sole of her feet, crown her with a fresh anointing. As she speaks, oh God, give her the words to speak, Lord God, and let the anointing rest, rule, and abide upon her now, forth, and forevermore. Have your way with her, oh God, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, my sister. And I don't know if Sister Joyce Brown wanted to say anything. If you was praying, your phone was on mute. So I'm giving you this opportunity. If not, we... It was,
Minister. It was on mute. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I know my people. So I came back, and we're waiting for you right now.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, how good it is to be kept by Jesus. Nothing, Lord, but nothing. We know, as Paul is in the lesson tonight, we know that we do have a lot of thorns. As the minister said earlier, with everything that's going on, we have thorns after thorns in our side. But nothing will ever separate us from your love, Lord. Please, Lord, just give us a fresh mental, and because we will hold on. Thank you, dear God, that even with everything that's going on, we thank you that we do live in a country where we can still share the gospel. And for that, dear God, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lesson tonight. We thank you for the lesson on Paul tonight. We thank you for the encouragement it will be. This was the Church of Corinth, but it will teach us. It will give us the encouragement. And we thank you, dear God. We thank you for Minister Diane bringing this lesson to us tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me now? Thank you. I think Sister Elyria just was giving me the signal. Thank you. Well, with that out the way, every week when we come on, no matter what the topic or the scripture is, we always take time and give a little background or give a little information or introduction to what the lesson is going to be about. And since our title tonight is God's Grace is Power, it's not just pardon, I want you guys to really open up your mind, your imagination, to look at the word grace. You know, we quote this so fast. Great is the unmerited favor that God has given us. You know, it's a gift that we don't deserve, and it's by grace, through faith we are saved, and grace, grace, grace. And the grace is what pardons us from our sin. But I want you to know grace is power. And don't keep it jammed up and boxed in the aspect of just your pardon. Oh, yes, it's by grace that we are saved. Hallelujah. It is a gift from God. We could not earn it in and of ourselves, no matter how we tried, no matter what we did. But I want you to know that grace is power. And a subtitle I had with this lesson tonight, it said that grace takes care of it all. Now, if we look at the Christian theology, grace is the love and mercy given to us by God because God desired us to have it, not necessarily because of anything that we have done to earn it. You got to remember the scriptures tell us that God came looking for us even when we was in our sin. And don't ever get it twisted. We never went looking for God. God always came looking for us. You see, it is not a created substance of any kind. I'm talking about this grace. You see, grace is favor, the free and undeserved help that God gives to the respond and those who respond to the call to become his children. You see, it was God's desire that all of us be saved. And the Holy Ghost receives the summons from God to come and knock on our doors of our hearts. You know how sometimes you was in church and the word go forth and you might have not been in church for a long while, but now you feel like it's time to start over again and something just kept nurturing at you. Well, you see, God gave the summons to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is bringing you the invitation. And whenever you open up and receive the invitation is when everything began to change and everything becomes lined up. It's almost like a puzzle with 1,000 pieces. The Holy Spirit brings the invitation. You accept it, and one piece go in place where it's supposed to go. And then you do a little more, and another piece, and another piece, and it's really making this picture. And this puzzle having expected in. When all the pieces is going to be working together for the good, and they all going to be in their place, and you're going to be able to see the whole picture, the intended purpose of the person that created the puzzle with the outcome of what it should be. That's like Jeremiah 29:11, which says about us that God knows the thoughts he has towards us. Thoughts of good and never evil to give us an expected end. You know, it's like God when he tells us that he's the potter and we are the clay. You see, a potter puts a piece of clay on the wheel and he uses his feet to make the wheel turn. And as the wheel turns, the potter takes the clay in his hand and he's molding and shaping and rearranging it. You see, the potter, as he worked with that clay, has an intended purpose in mind. If you think about pottery, it could be a pot, it could be a plate, it could be a bowl, it could be a pitcher to carry water. But when the potter begins to work with the clay, he has an intended purpose in mind, what he wants it to come. Everything has a purpose that goes on the wheel. And all of us have a purpose through Jesus Christ. You see, the word grace in the Bible means unmerited divine assistance, humans, given to humans for their regeneration and sanctification. And God's benevolence to the undeserving. Hallelujah. I'm talking about grace, y'all. You see, there's two kinds of grace. There's biblical grace, which is called saving grace. It is the grace that God, the grace of God that saves a person. Scripture says that grace, the unmerited favor of the Lord, is necessary because of the work of the law of the flesh will not be glorified in his sight. See, we need grace, because what the flesh couldn't do, grace took over. The law was the Old Testament. Grace is the New Testament. Come on, y'all. We're living under grace. I'm talking about grace. There's another grace that's called common grace. And I want you to know that common grace is God taking care of his creation. You see, in common grace, the moon still shines, the stars stays in place, the flowers still bloom in the summertime. Come on, y'all. Snow falls in the winter and rain in the springtime. Common grace. Plenty of people who never accepted Christ eat food daily. They have shelter. Common grace. You know, the Bible says God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. But then there's a saving grace. You see, those who never accept Christ, they could get some common grace, but they can't experience the saving grace because it's come from the Father through the Son. And those who have it have had to have received his Son as their Savior. Then you get that saving grace. Now, if I go back to where I started, that saving grace is going to save you. It's going to keep you out of the pits of hell. But the title that I gave you tonight was to let you know that that grace has power. And we're going to talk a little bit about the power of grace. You see, grace is dynamite. We have nothing in ourselves that will commend us or make us good enough or be able to present us to God. We have no saving grace on our own. You see, being fundamentally unacceptable to God, we have to ask, and we had to ask, how can we be saved? Jesus' answer was reinsurance. He said, let me just tell you this, y'all. Whatever you need, whatever you want, you know, it may seem so far away, it may seem so impossible. But he said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And he said, let me tell you, salvation is God's work. You see, he gives the grace we need. Our saving grace is Christ himself. So if saving grace is Christ, we know we receive Christ from the Father. So we know that it's God's work. And then Jesus did his part on the cross. And he's working in our behalf right now. Come on now, y'all. Do you trust that God is with you now? Can God sustain you? All that is through the power of grace. And I want to let you know that grace is what's going to hold you and give you all of the promises that God has said in his word for you is going to be established in you by that same grace. Grace is bad. Grace has power. Grace really is what takes care of it all. You know, we say it's by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus, that everything operates in our lives. Whenever we deliver from an addiction, grace of God. Whenever we don't have any finances and some kind of way it works out together for our good, that's the grace of God. When everything seemed to be gone crazy, like right now in the pandemic, social distancing, injustice every corner, brutality every chance that they could get it, debt, sickness, and so much more, y'all. But you see, we on the line tonight, and I prepared for tonight. And I want you to know it's only by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that's allowing you to be on the phone and not so somewhere locked up in a corner, so depressed you don't even know today is Wednesday. Everybody's not dealing well with it. But it's God's grace that's keeping you. And let me just tell you this. Don't get the big head and don't get it twisted. Because it ain't because you're so good. And it's never because you did everything right. But God, by being sovereign, does what he wants. When he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. But you got to remember. You got to remember. He makes no mistakes. And everything is not for everybody. And what he has for you is for you. Stay in your lane. And whatever God does, you know, that's why they have to make up the saying, don't hate, congratulate. Because there are some people who can't stand for other people to get anything, as if only blessings belong to them. We can rejoice in what God does in anybody's lives, because what he's going to do for us, he's going to do it. Grace. Do you ever thank God for his grace? Or did you ever look at grace in that aspect? Grace is the power that fuels you to say no when something is not right. Grace is what, that saving grace is what exhibiting, hallelujah, our will to not yield to temptation. That's the grace of God, y'all. Yes, grace saved us. But I want to tell you tonight, when it saved you, it didn't leave you. Hold on to that grace. Because that grace trying to hold on to you. And that's a little bit on grace, and we're going to touch on grace so much more tonight. But I wanted to give you this little bit on grace so that we could look at grace for what it truly is. We could understand its power. We could understand the works that God has given grace to accomplish in our lives. You know, many times we say grace and mercy can always go together. They're like partners. And they almost like they're holding hands, because you see, when God gave us grace, he gave us grace that it's unmerited. It's a gift, and he gave it to us, and we didn't deserve it, and we didn't do nothing to get it. And it gives us everything we need. See, they say grace is an unmerited gift that God gives you everything you need. That's what I'm trying to tell you about, that power. See, what you need is wrapped up in grace, and if you're not paying attention to grace, if you're not, you know, even thinking about grace or realizing grace got all of that for you, how can you get it? Because you would never act, because you would never know. Hallelujah. And then you see God always give us grace and mercy. They usually come in two. Because you see, mercy, grace is the unmerited favor that God gives us. It's a gift that he gave us that we didn't deserve. And it's everything that we ever need to live a righteous life here on earth. Grace is sanctifying. It's constantly redeeming us. It's constantly, you know, speaking to our heart. And the grace is given and administered through the Holy Spirit. Grace is what leads you into all righteousness. Grace is what guides you. Grace is what comforts you in a time of storm. Grace. Hallelujah. And then you see mercy is, mercy, grace give us what we don't deserve, and mercy hold back the punishments we do deserve. That's a pretty good team, working all things out together for your good. You got to trust it. And then you add faith and love to that, and you really complete. Many times we pray every night to God and every day, we don't even know what to pray for. The Bible says if you want wisdom, you got to ask. If you want God to bestow his grace upon you, ask him. If you want him to allow people to have faith in your life, ask him. If you want to love more and be loved, ask him. If you want mercy, ask him. And if you want grace, ask him. So we're going to go into our lesson tonight. And our lesson, I pray that you have your Bible. And if you don't have your Bible, you know, sometime you could go back and read just a little bit about what was said. You could take and meditate on it. Because the Bible tells us if we get the word of God in us and we do nothing with it, the birds are coming to snatch it from our mind. The birds is an example of Satan. And he'll come and snatch it out of our mind. But if you take it and you implant it in your heart, it will always be there. That's how you really begin to grow in grace. I'm talking about that grace again. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forevermore. See, we're growing in his grace. And different people, I would imagine, is at different levels of grace. And it's not because of any other reason, but that maybe they understood and they asked more and they talked to God about it and they studied it more. But today is a brand new day. And the things that you think you need of God, it's all there for the asking. And 2 Corinthians 12 chapter verse 6 and 7, I'm going to read. It says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Now, y'all know Paul is the writer of the book of Corinthians. And really, when we look at this, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, and it was really kind of getting hard on him. And, you know, they was trying to tell him, you ain't this and you ain't that. And we ain't so sure you came from God. And they just was ragging him out, you know. So Paul began to tell him about how he know that God called him, how he know it was a man. And I guess Paul could say the same thing I say. Paul said, I didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you, Paul. Paul was on the road to Damascus going to get some Christians to crucify because he thought what they were doing was blaspheming against the word of God. And God met, and Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus. And they say, whenever you've been in the presence of God, usually you never be the same. So Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and they was ragging on him, and they was telling him this and that, and this is what Paul said. For though I would desire to glory in myself, he's saying, I shall not be a fool. He said, I know, you know, the Bible teaches us on both. So he said, yeah, I desire to glory, because I did a little something. But I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. He said, I ain't going to even try to pump up what y'all have heard about me and what you might think about some things that you know I did so you can start glorying in them. He said, I'm not going to even do that. He said, I'm not going to act a fool, and I'm gonna try my best to stay in my place. And I know everything that God did, the glory belonged to him. So I'm going to try to stay in my lane. But I did do a lot of stuff. And I'm telling you this stuff not to give me glory, but I'm telling you this stuff to see that it was God's glory and grace that he bestowed on me that helped me to be who I am to you. Now, number 7 says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Come on, y'all. And look what he said about the thorn. The messenger of Satan to buffer me, I would be exalted above measure. Paul said, now look, he said, I had a lot of revelation. If y'all read the chapter about that, y'all will see that God gave Paul all kind of revelation. And when Paul talked about it, he talked about it as if it's in the third person, but he's really talking about himself. He said, you know, I don't know if I was alive, if I was awake, if it was dream, if it was, you know, and Paul's still talking about all this stuff. That's why he said in that verse when he said abundance of revelation, he said, number 7, unless I would be exalted above measures through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh. He said, before I start to get the big head, he's saying, yeah, I saw all of these holy revelations. He's saying some of the stuff I saw, it was so amazing that I was, it kind of like say that I'm really, really, really in tune and in touch with God, and God really have his hand on me, and God is really with me. He said, because the things I can tell you that I saw, and the things that was in the visions, and the things that was revelated to me, it's got a lot to say. But look what he said. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I would be exalted above measure. Paul said, what I saw was so real, and it put me in such a good place with God, in such a high level was I exalted in these visions. He said, look what God had to do. He allowed Satan, or the messenger of Satan, to buffer me. So what they did, they put a thorn in his side. They put a thorn, I don't know if it was in his side or his head or where it was, but God allowed Satan to give him a thorn. And the thorn was there, and it caused him difficulty. It evidently caused him pain. It evidently was a lot of trials and tribulations. It caused him this depression. The Bible does not say what the thorn that was on Paul was, but whatever it was, Paul wanted it gone. You hear me? You know, many times we encounter uncomfortable circumstances in our lives, and we just don't understand why. But nothing happens unless God orchestrates or allows. And even in it, he's always working things out together for our good. See, that's what I'm talking about. We have problems, yes. And when I could be talking about your problem, it's probably easy for me because I'm not feeling what you're feeling at the moment, but all of us have problems. And if we look back over our lives and just take a minute and let's put them in a category of thorns in your flesh. If we look at those thorns, the worst thorns we ever had in our lives. And tonight, for many of us, we can say that too did that. Hallelujah. And you know, we got, you know, we're going to have new thorns tomorrow. That's why the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. It says, take no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to have the evils of their own. And tomorrow may not even be promised to you. So let's live in today. Yes, we can prepare for tomorrow. But tomorrow is going to come with the evil of his own. And that's a thorn. So Paul had this thorn in his side. And he kept going to God. Now you see Paul doing everything that God wanted him to do. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament Bible. 13 books called epistles, was his letters. Paul was the one that fought with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Republicans about the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was the one that was on a shipwreck and he got placed on an island and a poisonous snake bit his hand and he shook it off and he lived. I'm talking about Paul. Now watch this. I'm talking about that Paul. Paul got a thorn in his side. And he go to God. So look what he say in verse 8. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times. This Paul, y'all, that it might depart from me. Paul saying, look, I went to God, not one time, not two times, three times, so it could depart from me. And look what he said in 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. Now, this Paul, are you willing to go through all of this for God and be all right? Can you take a little pressure every now and then? Can you walk a little further for God? Can you do this for God's sake? For Christ's sake? For all that he's doing and done and promised to do for you? So Paul said, I'm going to be all right. He said, I'm going to take all of my infirmities. I'm going to count them joy and reproaches and necessities and persecutions. He's saying all of these stresses for Christ's sake. And look what he says. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, people who think they got it all going together and they're so strong and they throw this and that, you know, sometimes God can't use them. Paul asked God 3 times to move it, and God said his grace was sufficient. You see, Paul speaks about a thorn in his side. What was the thorn? We don't know. It could have been physical. It could have been spiritual. It could have been a form of temptation. Whatever it was, God did not remove it. Now, the point I'm making is, Paul used to be called Saul, a man that God is using tremendously, that have a great, deep relationship with God. Stone in his side. And he asked God to remove it. But we see that he understood that God had allowed Satan to put it there so it could keep him grounded. So he won't be out of place and taking glory from God towards himself. So this is a lesson that can be taught to some of us. Sometimes God allows things, circumstances, situations, people, places, and things to come in our lives, because if they wasn't at that time, we would have had the big head. God said, I'm a jealous God, and he don't like nobody stealing his glory. And then we could have had the big head in the things of the world, and we could have been start doing this and that and this and that and not giving God what's doing, and then start doing this and get so high till we let pride seep in, and then now we done got greed seeped in, and now we just a hot mess. And when Satan gets ready to get through playing with you, he's going to drop you like a hot potato. And then you're dead standing, you know, listening to the music all by yourself. See, that's the way Satan operates. You can turn around and see it happen in so many people's lives. He has you high up. Over when everything began to be revealed, you know, your friends start leaving you. You know, the people with the money, they don't want to be around you no more. You know, and you could see yourself going down and down. And you see, because you treated everybody so badly when you was going up the ladder, you had to meet them same people coming down the ladder. And they didn't want to have nothing to do with you. So now you're like a prodigal son in a far off land, feeding slops to pigs in a pig pen. And that was the most detestable job for a Jew. But we have to be careful, and God is showing us in the lesson tonight. Paul, he loved Paul. Matter of fact, he loved Paul so much to put a thorn in his side and wouldn't remove it. So we have to realize every time we ask God to remove something or to give us something, God don't have to do it, and it doesn't mean he does not love us. But God has a purpose for everything he gives you. God has a purpose for everything he does not give you. God purpose everything he orchestrates in your life. And those things that he don't orchestrate, he allows them. But it's all designed for you. God has a master plan for all of our lives. And God is using everything he created, our good, our bad, our ugly, our future, our past, and our present. Some of the things that happen in our past, we say, why, God, let that happen to us? But it was to help you to get to be where you are now. It may not look like it. It may not even feel like it. But just check it out. And the things you're going through now is things you may need in the future. But Paul asked God to remove the thorn, and God didn't. Three times God said no. And he prayed persistently. See, some people tell you, oh, God, not working in your behalf because you ain't prayed enough. Knock that off, y'all. Knock that off what people tell you when they don't know the circumstances with you in your life. Oh, you ain't prayed enough. Paul prayed persistently and faithful. He even probably told God, like we tell him, not our will, but your will. But yet he wanted that thorn removed. He learned that God's purpose could be better accomplished by the no answer. And God said, look, my grace is sufficient, man, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus is saying it is not predicated on your strength, but mine. He let him know that his strength is made perfect in weakness. God always told us it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. There are things we may be asking for, other things we may be asking to be removed, like I said earlier. God knows what is necessary. God knows if you need a stone, or you need a rock, or you need to be, you know, you need your leg broke so you can't go through what you know. God uses all of that to help you. He knows what it takes to motivate and stimulate you. And he's always arranging and rearranging the matters in our lives to line it up with his will for our lives. You might not understand what or why, but if you trust that God knows best and realize that only God's grace is sufficient for you, and we should boast in nothing but let God have his way. And we boast in God's grace that he's bestowing upon us. You see, Paul now understands and says he takes pleasure in his reproaches and necessity. Paul said, I'm content whatever state I'm in. See, Paul and learn this about God's grace, because even though whatever's going on in your life right now might not be where you want, it might not feel like you want it to feel, it may feel like trouble is on every side. But if you know God, you know the power of his grace, you know that he is establishing mercy, you know that he loves you, and you know he's directing favor towards your life through others, wait on him. Be patient. And when you sum it all up, I can just tell you this. God's grace is amazing. And I'm going to leave you with this little story, because it's so true. They said there was a certain poor man. He spent many years saving money to realize his dream of going on a cruise. When he finally saved the required sum, he bought a ticket, knowing he could not afford the extravagant food on board. He took what he could afford, crackers and peanut butter. After a few days of observing the other passengers eating luxurious meals, his peanut butter crackers became stale and tasteless. Desperately hungry, he begged a porter to allow him to work for food. Why, sir, didn't you realize meals are included with your ticket? You may eat as much as you like. You see, a lot of Christians live like that man, not realizing the unlimited provisions that are theirs in Christ. You see, many of them munch on stale scrap, what they call common grace. There's no need to live like that. Everything we could ever want or need is included in the cost of admission. And the Savior, my Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, has already paid the price for us. He paid it all to him we owe. And I want you to know, you see, it was God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that paid the price for the total package Everything that God has is yours for the asking. In fact, everything you ever need to succeed in your walk with Christ and to do good works come from God's grace. I want you to understand what part grace plays in this thing. You see, in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, they say, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound to every good work. And that's our lesson for tonight, y'all. I want y'all to know that grace is a total package. Yes, it does pardon us for salvation, but it saves us in salvation, and it's going to hold us until Jesus come back again. Grace is, God said his grace is sufficient. And I pray that we understand how and why it is tonight. That's our lesson for tonight. At this time, if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button and I'll open your mic. If anybody would like to say anything. Sister Leary, I don't, Minister Mackey, I don't know if you would like to say nothing, but you had pressed the one button to prompt me to let me know you could hear me. I'm going to just open your mic, and if you don't want to say anything, I'm going to close it back.
No,
Minister Mackey,
you did a good job.
What's your...
I don't have nothing to add to it. Well done.
Praise God. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? Oh, I want to tell you guys that we have been praying for Sister Lucas. I want y'all to know she died 4 days this morning. So we're going to have to shift our prayers from her to her family. But Sister Lucas died last 4 days this morning. And I want y'all to pray for her family. I want you to know that I've lost a dear friend. I've lost my prayer partner, one of them. Thank God God got me with new ones. My study partner, and we're studying because of her. For those who don't know, Sister Lucas started a program, a Bible study and a prayer line, she and I, when the pandemic started. And, it has grown, and it turned into a ministry, and we still going three times a day on the prayer line, and we have to give honor to Sister Lucas, you know, the co-founder of the thing, and it's a prime example. Sister Lucas came and planted the seeds, and all of us who's on the prayer line and the study line, we are watering the seeds. And we could see the evidence that God is giving the increase. And that's all we have to look forward to. And that's what God is asking us to do with the life that he has given us. And we have to constantly continue to do what God is asking us to do, so that grace could abound in us abundantly. You know, God has given us all of this, but we got work to do with it as well. So I just want to say thanks to everyone that has called in tonight. And I'll do the benediction, and it's my favorite, and it's appropriate for the lesson tonight. Because this is what Paul is saying. And I guess I'm so have so much to say about grace, because everybody that know me know that my favorite scripture is growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you can't keep saying something over and over, and the Holy Ghost don't give you some illumination and revelation. So, you know, the Holy Ghost is really teaching me about this grace, and it's so amazing. You know, when I, you know, you sing that song, Amazing Grace, grace is so amazing. It is so amazing. But you got to recognize wisdom for what it really is. You got to recognize grace. You got to understand mercy, and just don't let it be words that flow off your lips, but understand what God has given us in these things, and don't be like the man on the ship thinking, didn't read. He didn't read his brochure. We're not reading our Bible. He didn't see that the fool was inclusive. We don't see that all of God's blessings that's inclusive for us. We don't go after them. We don't know what position we need to be in to receive them. So get with God's program and receive the bountiful blessing that is compacted in grace. So grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. I just want to let y'all know that God loves y'all, and so do I. And there is nothing that you can do about it. Each one of y'all, go and be blessed. Tell somebody about somebody who could save everybody. Ask God to use you. Ask God to allow you to know what he has for you to do. Ask God, who can you help? Ask God, where does he want you to go? And that's our lesson for tonight. Good night and be blessed, everyone.